Blog Talk Radio.
Boom, boom, badoo, and good afternoon to you.
Keen.
Friends and family on the live wire, this is your host, Bud Justice, Can Agent 67, rolling it to you live and from the trenches of transformation in the City of Roses, or Landistan Ur again. Just for a recap, for those of you coming on board with Kanubis consciousness today, Pan Agent 67 is one of many patient advocate networkers who was actually a player in the early years of 1993, 94, 95, and 96 as a community organizer and host for a series of special events and Harvest Jam related gatherings, which provided a great deal of momentum for the likes of Paul Stanford, Sandy Burbank, and all of you all who are benefiting from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act, which was passed in 1998. That's Measure 67, which is now flowering into its 13th year. And it's a great honor to be running this race with progressive heads, and we're out to raise the bar. And I want to remind you that a view is a view is a view, and there's a lot of politicking out there. And so we're after the most comprehensive understanding that that cannabis is an ancient sacrament. A medicine unlike any other, and is being restored to its rightful place amongst the folk culture of a once ancient future civilization. We're fortunate this afternoon to have Jennifer Valley on the wire as she's traveling south with her crew, that's Stony Grove Gardens and crew, and we are lending critical eye to the most recent rogue of the week that Willamette Weekly has declared, which is marijuana users and abusers and those potheads out here who don't know the difference. And so we want to give a critical review to last week's January 12th Willamette Week article, Weed the People. Meet the Oregonians driving the marijuana marketplace. And without further ado, let's bring on the voice of cannabis corporate culture and ask Stony Grove to join us live on the wire. How you doing, Jen?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you very much.
Welcome aboard. Thank you for taking time.
Thank you. I'm working really hard to open things up to everybody who wants to be involved in this program. There's a lot of really hardworking Oregonians out there who are looking for a new way. We've had 10% unemployment for more than 10 years now, and it's time to start putting people to work.
That's right. We want to do that in the best of light, don't we?
Yes, we absolutely do, and that's why we're working really hard to set standards and create an honest and open marketplace with a lot of transparency.
Well, we hear that, I think... Go ahead, Jen.
One of the things that we feel is that every single legislative session since the medical marijuana program has been in place, there's been a bill to attack it. Every single session, and next session will be no different. And we feel that one of the problems that we've had for many years is that we tend to come to the table with our concessions instead of with our demands. So we're going to come to our legislators this year with demands for a dispensary bill, because it's time to stop putting this off. The market is already in place, it's already happening, but we have to have some kind of regulation. We can't just have a Wild West show like Colorado and California. We need standards, we need regulation. And it has to be streamlined regulation that allows business to flourish. We've got too many people in Oregon who are losing their houses.
Right, right. Well, on that note, you know, we want to talk about the perception that mainstream people have today towards the Medical Marijuana Act, and particularly want to dispel the corporate fervor, the gold rush fervor that comes with the Medical Marijuana Act, and just want to draw your attention, Jen, to the front page of Weed the People, which really is a slander on our preamble, and really goes a step further to suggest that the Constitution is a first word.
I feel like I'm We the People, and like the people are demanding medication. They want their weed.
I'm referring to any kind of a slander.
I see it as a patriotic exclamation that yes, the people are speaking. They want their weed, and they are not going to not have it anymore. They're tired of being held down by folks who just aren't, who don't want the market to move. You know, we can't have that anymore.
Keep
the stranglehold on our farmers. It's time to free our farmers. Do you know that 90% of the marijuana market in America, a $132 billion industry, 90% of that market is controlled by Mexico? And Oregon is one of the top marijuana-producing states in the nation. We need the multi-billion-dollar market that is marijuana in Oregon to be a market that our farmers participate in, make money on, and pay taxes on. It's time to come out of the closet.
Okay.
It's time to end the black market. It's time to legalize marijuana, stop marijuana eradication in Oregon, and let our farmers grow it in our fields, so that it won't be grown in our national forests. We have a responsibility.
Right.
And not just to our state, but to our entire nation. We have a civil war on our nation's border because we have allowed the folks who are running that civil war to send $90 billion a year home to fund that civil war. Thousands of people, even in America, are being killed. That's inexcusable. Right now, Oregon has to nationalize this industry to protect our state and our nation. And at the same time, it will reduce health care costs dramatically. My personal experience has been that I reduced my health care costs by 85%. I reduced my prescription drug intake by 25 to 35 pills a day down to 2. I increased my body weight from 92 pounds up to 120 pounds. I went from 10 emergency room visits every year to I haven't been in 10 years, 12 years. I mean, that's a huge healthcare cost savings. And right now,
those are strong arguments, Jen. Those are strong arguments. I want to rope it back to this particular article because this week, the Willamette Week, followed up with another slanderous comment about the cannabis community being tagged for the Rogue of the Week award, and so I want to rope it back into the shady journalism that is so commonplace amongst the Oregonian, the Portland Tribune, the Willamette Week, and Beaverton Valley Times. None of these publications are actually doing us any justice. That's my opinion. When I first picked up the Willamette Week, I looked at the Weed the People, and being one who's trying to restore constitutional rights as a sovereign state citizen and expose corporate personhood, right now we don't have very much in terms of our constitutional rights, and most people in this country are snowed into thinking that they have rights when they have none. They're born into maritime jurisdiction, and they're basically corporate persons or straw men until they claim otherwise. When I read the spine of the article,
one of the reasons that I got involved in the reschedule campaign that I'm doing right now is because I kind of agree that our Constitution has been kind of ignored, in that under Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution, the right to regulate medical powers is delegated to the state. And the federal government seems to have usurped that at least in the case of medical marijuana. So I pointed out to one of our local senators that they could reschedule marijuana at state level, and then that would help to protect Oregonians' employment rights, because with our current state-level Controlled Substances Act listing marijuana as Schedule 1, our medical marijuana was an illicit drug that we were still using with state permission. But once they reschedule
right.
it, it becomes a legal medication.
I hear that. Okay. Now, time
so
on that, because we were present. Well, yeah, we were present through those meetings at the Oregon Board of Pharmaceutical Rescheduling last year when we went from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2. So this is not new news, but the only ones representing at those meetings were really a core handful of us media hounds who have been watching this and participating in policy today while the cannabis corporations, while the cannabis corporations. Well, the cannabis corporations are basically, we didn't see any representatives from any of the major players who claim to be representing the best interests of cannabis today. Most of them are busy writing cards or involved in acts of commerce, which are, you know, basically rooted in time as money. We see very few people who are really actively involved in the declassification, who are actively involved in showing up at these meetings to really track and trace the way that public opinion becomes mainstream policy.
Oh, well, that's, you know, I agree. I never see folks when I go to things like the Health Policy Commission, but I found that my testimony before the Health Policy Commission and the Health Fund Board and the Health Improvement Plan and all those other, and the Palliative Care Task Force, has been very moving for those folks, and it's given them a very different kind of attitude about medical marijuana, because before I go to them, I read their reports to see what it is, what their goals are and what their needs are, and I can explain to them how medical marijuana has affected me in such a strongly positive way and translate it into how an impact on a very small community can have a much greater impact on the larger community, because 10% of Oregonians generate 69% of our healthcare costs. That's folks like me. And if we can address the primary issues that drive healthcare costs, which are pain and chronic disease management, with medical marijuana, and have the kind of impact on the other patients that I've had, we can have 30% of our budget to help ensure the rest of Oregonians. And all it would take
and there's
is
no doubt that you've
access.
There's no doubt that you've done your homework, and I'm tickled to hear about your successes. And I want to get into that, because as we come back to reviewing the article, the perception that it gave me when I read the quote, "They're so rude, it's hard to believe they're Canadian." And again, you know, we're talking about a very impressionable mind that's open to all sorts of subliminal input. If you go into the page 4 of that quote, the doctor knows column there, he actually uses this reference of Canadian geese and the suggestion that these geese are now gangs of surely delinquent, leather jacketed, vagabond, homeless, insolent, drug dealing, honky tonking, slick back, switchblade, comb headed greasers is really something that's used as a suggestion that we the people are running amok with a privilege that needs to be overhauled and perhaps dismantled or
are
regulated.
Are you not aware
by the
that that's
government?
Been the message that they've been pushing for 10 years?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why
they've
we're having
pushing,
this conversation.
So it's not news. It's not new.
So
you
well, why
to
would
go
you think
into
that this type of why would you think that this kind of journalism is beneficial for our movement?
Because you have
why would
to be there giving them the other side. They have to see both sides. And I gave them an opportunity to see the positive when they talked to me. Because am exactly what medical marijuana was meant to do. I conquered my cancer, and the only reason I was able to do that is because of medical marijuana.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
And this is good.
Conventional
and
medicine
good.
And experimental medicine were both vitally important, but I gave conventional medicine 7 years of fair shot, and I was in the ER 10 times a year and taking 30 pills a day, and I was sick all the time. And when I joined the medical marijuana program, I stopped doing all that.
Right, right. Okay, and I understand the benefits
that
you've received.
And I was able to get that story out in the Willamette Week, and that story needs to be told, too.
Well, that's a story that's a good argument to have.
And
I want to come back to your general opinion. But your opinion of this particular facet of journalism is that this is a positive perspective to produce or to broadcast to people today. Is that right?
I feel that if we don't participate, we won't have any kind of hope of shaping how the story comes out. They have to have some kind of positive idea and input.
I think you're right on with that.
They're only going to give us the negative.
Hey, you're right
on
with that.
Someone has to be the strong voice for us, and that's me.
Okay, now tell me why nobody responded to this trash journalism other than the human collective. Where are the other heads in this industry who are claiming to represent our best interests, and why didn't anybody write a counter article besides yours truly to actually equalize the content? Going right into the article,
it's possible
that
some of them may recognize that what I'm doing here is hardball politics. I'm leveraging a dispensary bill with these articles. They have been working for 6 years. They couldn't get it on the ballot the first time. They finally got it on the ballot. Actually, 2 times they couldn't get it on the ballot. And when they finally got it on the ballot, they couldn't pass it.
Effort last year.
Right.
We were part of that dispensary effort last year.
In the meantime, we were working for a bill.
But it failed primarily because of... It failed because of the corporate mindset towards cannabis, which is a competitive, divide-and-conquer type of industrious point of view.
I think another big part of it was there was a lot of folks out there who were told that they would not get their free pot anymore if they voted yes on this. There were a lot of folks who had had personal agendas where they want to be the only one who ever changed pot laws in Oregon, and they worked hard to undermine this. So there was just a lot. You got to remember, this is a state-based, it's a cannabis-based economy. The biggest cash crop in Oregon is marijuana. We have a lot of marijuana farmers. We have a lot of other farmers who keep their farm by growing a little pot on the side so that they could cover their bills. So they weren't going to vote down their safety net.
Right.
It's rural America that wasn't willing to cut their own throats. And you can't be surprised by that in this economy.
That's
but the problem
true. Now
is,
I hear what you're saying.
Well, the other issue is I was told by a lot of California growers that they didn't want Measure 74 because they didn't want to pay those 20% taxes. And they were going to make sure that it didn't pass so that they could have a California-style market up here, which is anything goes in some places and nothing goes in others. And they don't care if it's a Wild West show because that's what they came from and they like it fine.
Right. And there's a number of interrelated facets to this that obviously are coming into play. One of the things that I saw as being a paid circulator with voter power, I worked on that campaign for 9 months every day, and one of the things that I noted was the shady tactics of journalism like Willamette Week, like the Portland Tribune, like the Oregonian. And if you notice, the endorsement that was given by the Willamette Week was actually a counterintuitive, counterintelligent endorsement written from a third grader's grammar. It was written, it endorsed Measure 74, but it actually slammed us into thinking that this was a good endorsement, that we should be happy and tickled pink, and the likes of Anthony Johnson and all those who raised their banners as a result of the endorsement. It was such a poorly written piece of trash that it set the tone for the Mercury to shoot down Measure 74, which is the core social fabric of cannabis culture today and the most creative facet of Portland's demograph. And the Mercury did not support Measure 74, and I think it was a direct result of the recommendation that the Willamette Week gave the week before, which cost us the 8-point spread. So what we're trying to expose here is we're trying to explore.
Well, you also have to remember this is the most conservative electorate in the history of Oregon. We have never had so many Republicans elected. So you don't think any of them voted for 74, do you? Because
no.
I can promise you they didn't. And many moderate moderate Democrats voted against us because Kitzhaber came out against us. He sided with the police on this. So how do you suppose things are going to go at the legislature come February?
Right. Well, in this case, you know, until we get our heads together and really begin to raise the bar on the way that we are communicating the fundamental benefits of this measure, and until we rewire our terminology, you know, the term pot, the term dope, grass, weed, heroin, methamphetamines, those are all federal class one classifications. But we still use those words to describe the sacrament of cannabis sativa. And unless we rewire those thought patterns and those perceptions, there's no chance we're going to flower the power in the 13th year of this program. They're going to shoot us out of the water.
Load.
That's exactly
that's
what they're doing.
That's a load.
Well, check it out.
If people who are in this program would just go to the policymaking meetings and show their faces, we would have a big difference.
Honey, it's not,
if
honey,
people would just
you know,
go meet their representatives, it would make a huge difference.
Honey, we don't have time for that. We are being worked to death. Nobody
that's
has the time to stand top of the issues. Who's got time?
Wait a minute. Medical marijuana patients, by and large, aren't working. There are disabled folks who aren't working. They have time on their hands. Most of them are just afraid to admit they smoke pot publicly.
Exactly.
I've seen it over and
exactly.
over again. They're afraid they'll have their benefits cut. They're afraid they'll lose their food stamps. They're afraid they'll lose their home if they admit
exactly.
to this. And
they
can.
They're under the thumb of prohibition. And it's a
exactly.
ruthless government that's enforcing such.
As long as you're on
but
the defense,
only,
you're never going to assert your rights.
Well, okay, I hear you. But the thing about
and
this is that all change that comes on this level comes from the bottom up. Change is not going to come from the top down, from the politic of today. It's a corporate, political, religious institution that's trying to do everything it can to maintain its dominant economic gain.
Nobody can do anything?
I already told you that's not true. What I am saying is that Unless we the people begin to really get intelligent about the way that we approach the natural world, unless we make it a firm resolve to dispel all facets of the commercialization of the earth and her resources, unless we rewire time is money and the whole profiteering that comes based on a good thing, then we stand very little chance in creating a new model. And the only way,
well,
you know,
you
if
saying?
I go back
are
to
the are you article, saying that people shouldn't get paid for their work? Because that don't make no kind of
absolutely
sense.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
it's
not.
Sustainable.
I'm saying that everybody should
it's
get paid
sustainable.
For their work. I'm saying it's not an hourly trip. It's not, and it's no longer is it for, it doesn't have to be based or rooted in the corporatization of the resources of the natural world. Let's just put the brakes on. Let's go back to the article because I don't want to spiral too far out. And I do appreciate your time and your view, Jen, and I know you're passionate about this. So let's ramble on and let's look at the article because, again, with the Willamette Week is in tandem with the Oregonian and the Portland Tribune, and what we're seeing is really the basically staging a series of events which tie into other facets of what's happening here in Portland with your FBI Joint Terrorist Task Force and all the other
you're
camouflaged
fitting,
culture. Well, listen. You know what? It's all interrelated, man. And I'll tell you what. That's what cannabis does. It radializes your view and it makes you super intelligent if you got the time to reflect upon it. But I'm going back into the article because I'm quoting here from what you said about the operation in the basement trip. And I hear, you know, it's a good thing to come out of the out of the basement with this.
Your story is cool. Let me tell you why. My mother, about 5 years after I had joined the medical marijuana program. I know. I'm telling you, I'm getting there. Right.
I want to come back to the content of this article because I want to address specifically this article so that people know how to identify this type of journalism today and so that we refine our representation when they come to draw us out with traps and snares that basically make us out to be a bunch of monkeys, okay? And essentially, you know, what this article does is it opens up with Wake and Bake, and Wake and Bake is a new dispensary who's putting out the message that there is big money to be made in the act of dispensing medical marijuana to patients here today, and that they're banking on this, and that this is something that's lucrative with profits that are worth going after, even if it costs your children and your kids. And if we go, if we talk about coming, you know, into the light with this, you look at the way that the
I didn't get that at all. I got that this was a woman who found a new medication that worked for her, and she was so happy about trying it that she decided to go into this industry and got punished for it by the Boys and Girls AIDS Society because they don't want to recognize our medicine as legitimate. You didn't get that? Wow.
I got that, too.
Because that's what the real story was there, was that the Boys and Girls AIDS Society didn't want to recognize our medicine as legitimate. I think that's a really important story that needs to get out, and I'm really glad that the Willamette Week brought that point out so that people will know that how wrong it is that our medicine is not being treated like a legitimate medicine, even though it is Schedule II under our law. It is a legitimate medicine under Oregon's law.
Well, we know that to be true, and that's why we're having this conversation. That's exactly why we're having the conversation. I want to focus on a couple of key points here because when you present the corporate cannabis business model to mainstream today, what we're doing is we're essentially setting ourselves up to be coveted
by
the very
force. Part of our normal society, no longer part of the fringe. We're setting ourselves up to be mainstream and part of the greater community that is Oregon. And it's time for us to join the greater community instead of being shunned and put on the fringe. It's time for us to be part of our community.
I'm with you, but the way that we go about that,
corporatization of cannabis is about. It's about us being full citizens just like everybody else. It's the industrialization.
Honey, as long as you're employed by a corporation, you're not going to be a full citizen. Because whoever owns your time owns your mind, and the corporate culture functions by time is money. And as long as you corporatize cannabis sativa underneath the same economic business model that is collapsing today, you will get another repeat performance of what is happening today. Look at the past. Look at what Liz Johnson was saying about all of the millions and billions of dollars to be generated by this, by that, and the other.
Cannabis is the only industry in America that is on the rise right now. We must nationalize this $100 billion industry and stop sending $90 billion to Mexico every year. Why are we supporting the black market? That's totally inappropriate.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, you guys wouldn't be where you're at today if it wasn't for the black market.
That's not true. I've never been involved with the black market.
Well, your business partner says right here in the article.
My business partner was for many, many years. That's true. And my parents were pot smugglers in the 70s. My father was a pot dealer all his life.
you wouldn't be where it was today.
That's why I'm turning on
that. Underground culture, and it's not a black market. It's more or less
an
underground folk culture.
It's underground. It's illegal. It's a black market. It's illegal. It's time to change that.
I got news
you don't
for
pay
you.
Taxes on it. It's a black market.
It's not illegal if you have the right terminology and actually have honor when it comes to exchanging the values that cannabis represents today. But you cannot do so underneath the glossary of the existing laws, which make you a corporate slave and basically set you up for a facet of jurisdiction. You can laugh all you want, but you're a maritime jurisdiction food chain
Anybody who smokes pot is subject to federal law. You're correct. Anyone in current possession of any marijuana whatsoever could be arrested at any time by the federal government. But it's not worth messing with people
religion,
who are following their state law.
If you have a First Amendment right to freedom of religion and you know it to be true, then you have an affirmative defense. Do you not?
I'm pretty sure that the only ones who've managed to come up with that was the Rastafarians. They have a constitutional affirmative defense, but I don't think anybody else does currently.
Do you know why? But you're wrong. Do you know why you don't have a constitution today or a bill of rights or why you aren't able to deploy the values that those doctrines represent? Do you understand what's in them? The freedom of religion is basically that. It's the freedom to a way of life. If you claim
in America, freedom
yours.
Of religion is you're free
get,
to either be a Christian or a Jew or possibly a Muslim, but that's really about as far as they're going to extend those privileges. They have a list of religions that they accept under freedom of religion, and that's it.
You know what? That's bullshit. The Native American Church just won a case against the feds in Utah. The Native American Church is suing Eric Holden out of Hawaii. The Native American Church is the only farm vehicle today.
And what does that have to do with my Willamette Week article?
Because we're talking about your rights as a sovereign citizen underneath the Constitution with the Bill of Rights. And we're talking about the distinction between what it means to be corporate personam and a sovereign citizen of the United States of America. We're talking about what it means to be a sovereign citizen.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in that. I'm interested in talking about marijuana.
No, you don't have
if you're interested in talking about marijuana, I'm interested in talking about that.
Want to talk about pot, weed, and dope, and you want people to believe that this is something that should be profited from and that should be industrialized underneath the banner of a new world order.
I believe that as long as cannabis is illegal for people who aren't medical, patients are always going to be under constant attack by police who are claiming that patients aren't sick enough to be in the program, and by robbers who are after a medicine that is worth as much on the market as gold. That's just all there is to it. I also believe it's unfair for patients to not be able to have safe access to their medicine. When my mother was diagnosed with cancer, I said, Mama, you need the medical marijuana, and I sent her seeds, and I sent her dirt, and I told her what to do, and her plants were growing, and she was going to harvest in 2 weeks, and she went to the hospital, and she died. And that is not fair. And the reason she didn't have access to her medicine is because there was no place to buy it. And that is wrong. We need safe access for everyone who needs this medicine. It is not fair that people who need it have to grow their own or count on someone they don't necessarily know or count on some black market drug dealer. It's not okay. We need safe, legal access.
Well,
we
concur on that point.
Safe, legal access.
Well, you know, I'm about the same thing. The way we go about it is night and day. And I can tell you that if you're trying to establish safe access through the existing corporate model, which is absolutely collapsing and failing the world and the entire resources of the biosphere, it's not going to happen. You can't fix the problem on the level of the problem, sweetheart. You just can't. You have to build a better model, and in order to do that, you have to weed out all of those loopy thoughts that are related to the commercialization and the degradation of the biosphere. If you know anything about the history of this land, you'll know that the corporatization and the colonization of this Native American resource was done so in the same fervor and the same type of dysfunctional attitude that we are dealing with today. These are all things that stem from a belief system and a mindset that has to be reconciled with
yeah, but things are
God's
changing.
Grace,
women
the
got
goddess
the vote
grace.
Now.
Well, hey, great. You know, we've always given them the vote. But it was only...
No, we haven't had the vote for that long, not even 100 years. Hold on, Sparky. Women haven't had the vote for even 100 years now. Come on.
Okay,
now, let's not be saying that women have always had the vote when you know that didn't happen until 1920.
Well, it's true. There's a bunch of dickheads behind the wheel, and I can't blame you for being a wee bit pissed off about it. But you know, roping it back into, I want to look here at, I'm looking here at what this guy Beaumont is, because your article is preceded by the Wake and Bake crew, and then you're right in the middle of Beaumont, and Beaumont's going in and telling everybody that he's addicted to smoking an ounce a day, and that it's just a program that's a scam that's giving people license to ill.
Well, it's like you said, the whole way that these things are slanted seems to be to get the opposition's argument out, and they use this FOA to get the opposition's argument out. It's nothing new. We see it every fall. We see it, right, especially before a legislative session.
His opinion, Jen, is that once the market opens up and is regulated, corporations, and I quote, would quickly take over production and small growers would be left in the dust. That seems to make some sense to me. That's the only thing in his two cents that does make sense.
Actually, we think it's going to be more like the tomato or the rose industry, where it's dominated 90% by small farmers because of the wide variety that comes in. A corporate entity would not be able to do the one-size-fits-all thing. It just wouldn't work in this market.
Well, that's what they're doing in Oaksterdam. They've created a monopoly, and they've allowed the four major growers to dominate the radius of Oakland.
Said they couldn't do that,
correct,
and Oakland caved and decided not to.
Feds were on our side with that one. Well,
nope,
it's an attempt, isn't it?
Didn't happen,
It's a tendency. It's a tendency to monopolize is what it is.
And at the same
time,
if there were those four large ones, there was still the hundreds of thousands of small ones still in existence, so there's no reason to think that those would stop happening.
Well, you know, according to our heads of the M-Scale crew, they were running it down about what's happened with the hops industry when the University of Corvallis created programs for students to learn about how to grow hops and how to brew beer, and that they phased that whole program out and created a monopoly out of it as well. Now the only one who's really doing it is somebody who's got deep pockets, who's passed through the eye of the needle with the OLCC and is able to throw down all of the other red tape requirements in order to brew beer.
Okay.
So do you want to see cannabis become like liquor today? Let me ask you that, just point blank. Do you see cannabis as a sacrament and everything that it represents? Do you see it being offered like alcohol today?
I believe that adults should have the choice to use cannabis as they choose. It shouldn't be the government's business to interfere. And I think part of that is allowing a free market. Because if I can't choose where to get my cannabis, then there really is no freedom of choice.
Well, you've got things going to where you've got plenty of choices because you're heading down south to establish even more choices. And it sounds like,
I'm heading down to establish more choices for the locals and bring local folks to their market and really open things up and create small businesses that'll build America and build Oregon.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I would just like, you know, one of the reasons for this interview was just to try to refine that light, you know, and look at, you know, some of the elements that stand in our way of really attaining a quality of life that could be as attractive as a garden culture economic game plan, a global world peace program. But
we believe in accountability from farm to table, and we're working to establish that.
That's excellent. I want to thank you for that because I know that you're sincere about that. My personal opinion is that the cannabis and the movement today does represent the possibility for a first world peace and a global recovery. But my opinion is it's hemp all the way. It industrialized the resource to keep the flower power in the hands of the folk. Keep the flower power in the hands of the folk and don't lose this resource to the corporatization and the collapse of the corporatocracy. And if you're a cardholder today and you don't understand the value of what it means and the privileges that are implied in that card and what it took for us to bring that to you and what it took for us to establish those privileges and those rights, then you probably don't deserve them. And even more so, if you don't understand the distinction between a corporate citizen who is subject to maritime jurisdiction as a slave, then you don't deserve the right to higher jurisdiction without prejudice under the Uniform Commercial Code. And if you don't have the respect to reflect, then get in the back of the bus, man. Hey, anyway, so, you know, so tell me what you're looking forward to. You guys are, there's a lot of movement heading south right now. You guys are on your way, and I've got another friend, Philip Lex, who's pursuing an offer with Lucasfilms and down in the Bay Area, and the M-Scale crew's heading south, and there's some busyness in the South Gate. You want to shed some light on that?
Well, you know, it's springtime. It's time to be starting the tour, so we're heading south, going down to meet the folks who've called and asked for us to come and do some outreach. Looking at starting some club pipples out in Bend and Hood River and McMinnville and Lincoln City and possibly down here in Medford, Ashland, and Coos Bay. So it's looking like a big year coming up.
Well, you're going to need a lot of help, honey. I hope that you'll be able to see through the polarity in our discussion and put Bud Justice and the media hounds to work because as it stands, you know, this view is something that is kind of rare amongst today's gold rush fervor.
Well, you know, somebody had to do it.
And we are.
We're going to be forming an Oregon Cannabis Business Association, and we're looking for as much input as possible from anyone who wants to be involved in the cannabis business in Oregon.
Okay. That sounds like an open invitation. Let me ask you this, sweetheart. Do you plan? You said that you were working with the Willamette Week and their correspondent. You said that you thought that you may be able to rope him into a better perspective. Are you going to pursue some more media type of outreach on this level,
I'm absolutely going to be talking to him about the policies in Oregon around palliative care and the fact that if you have less than a 50% chance of surviving 6 months, the Oregon Health Plan is not going to cover chemotherapy for you anymore. So we need to be here with cannabis medicines to do support for those end-of-life patients and those palliative care patients who generate the most health care costs. And that way we can have a real impact. And I'll be talking to him about different pieces, different policy pieces around the whole marijuana issue, so that maybe we can get a different kind of perspective out of the Willamette Week.
You're going to need backup with that, honey. Let me ask you something. Did he ever produce a rough draft of this article before he printed it or even offered to?
Did he show it?
I'd like to make a suggestion that if these media clowns try to approach you in the future, that you ask them, that you actually get a written contract with them, that they will provide you a rough draft of the article before it goes to print. Please.
Yeah,
because that way you'll have a chance to refine it and pick it apart and clarify things before it's released. I would ask you to do that for us. Would you put that to mind?
Oh, sure.
Because what happened with the City Repair Planet Art Network movement in the late 90s was something similar to what the Willamette Week is doing to us today. We actually had a very vibrant and healthy community, which was creating a great deal of urban renewal and eco development projects, and we established an urban art education center downtown. We produced at the Portland Pioneer Square for 4 years in a row, The Day Out of Time, which is basically introducing the element of natural time and time as art and the recovery of the human biomass within a new context of measure, which is a 13 moon 28 day harmonic standard. And we actually presented that invitation to the chief of police and to the mayor in 99. And what the Willamette Week did was everything in their power to shatter the momentum that we had gained prior to the Y2K trip. And they did a good job in splintering our community. And everybody pretty much who was part of that core family endeavor found themselves at odds with each other and found themselves going underground for the next 5-6 years. We finally resurfaced to participate and play an active role in the preservation of cannabis consciousness and what little is left of cannabis culture today. And we want to let you know that we have a much better game plan than what's being entertained in the mainstream today. And I'm so glad that you're on the wire and open to exploring a new cosmology, because you are the Stony Girl. We've been trying, to get, with that Shakti for a long time now. And we're just trying to create a way of life that gives us the time to cultivate the strength and the skill and the artistic expression that you're so befitting of.
Well, one of the reasons we have our Port Amsterdam University is to get folks trained in how to get growing and how to get active politically so that they can be part of the solution.
Right on. And at 4:20, right on. And we are 2 minutes shy from 4:20, and it's high time for a comprehensive approach towards the best of biology today. Do you want to talk a little bit about... we've got another 12-13 minutes on the wire. Do you want to talk a little bit about your university?
Sure, that would be wonderful. We've been working for about a year and a half now. We teach everything that we do, soup to nuts, beginning to end, from growing to breeding to how to start a dispensary, how to do your cooking, how to cleanse out your product so that you have a clean topical that doesn't cause rashes. We teach hash class. We have a full 17-hour semester day weekend where you can get fully certified as one of our growers or producers, learn everything you need to know to become a club pit bull. And we've been doing it for a year and a half. We've had a lot of success. We get a lot of out-of-state patients, and a lot of them are working on reschedule in their states. So we're making a lot of real forward movement.
Excellent, excellent. Let's keep it positive and keep it on the up. One of the things that I'd like to offer you, Jen, is I've been an aesthetic practitioner for quite some time, and while everybody was building the cannabis empire, I went into the woods for 7-8 years under the wing of Dr. Jose Arguez, and he really kept my feet to the fire in understanding the dynamics of time and consciousness and the building blocks of biology. And so I'm coming out of that initiation into this movement again to remind people that as a care provider or as a caregiver, you don't have to be chronic to be a player. If you have a heart connected to your head and a personal practice that keeps you balanced and that you feel confident in sharing with others, you can extend that in a form of service that will actually compensate you for that type of mentorship and give you what you need as a practitioner.
It's important to enable people. People need to be able to do it themselves. So we offer a dirt product that you transplant your plant into the Sunny Girl mix and you water until harvest. And you never have to add any, you don't have to do any pH measuring. You don't have to measure out fertilizers. If your idiot cousin Bob is going to be watching the plants for a week, you don't have to be afraid he's going to kill everything because all he has to do is water it. So, you know, there's lots of folks have to be concerned about, you know, not being the ones taking care of their plants when they have to go to the hospital. So this makes it possible for it to be simple enough for anybody to do it. And that makes the empowerment thing so much easier. You know, when we know that that's right, it makes problem solving and troubleshooting much more easy.
Indeed. And so that'll make it, that much more
accessible.
That much more accessible, and it'll make it easier for people to cultivate on their own. And so Portland, it's called Portland,
Portlandsterdam,
right?
Portlandsterdam.
Yes. Uh-huh. Excellent. Okay. Let me ask you something. Do you have the Measure 67 is basically a threefold dynamic between patient, caregiver, and provider. And I'm wondering if you or any of the other clinics out there today, and I can answer this question, but I'm just wondering if there has been any thought put toward the formulation of a professional caregivers association who would actually work with people to understand the basic building blocks of physiology and the proper way of applying something like an M-scale systematic approach towards health, pain management, and well-being. Have you thought about that?
No. Nope, haven't heard of it from anybody else either. A cannabis caregiver association?
My point is that the whole measure was written to basically provide alternative pain management solutions. And one of the reasons why the Willamette Week has got such a sharp eye on our movement is because we are not truly integrating the benefits of cannabis sativa today. Very few people really understand facets of yoga or aesthetic care or any of the Eastern teachings, which would provide a very clear distinction between health and illness. And in this case, we're talking about the organic alternative shamanic facets of cannabis, which are completely overlooked with today's gold rush fervor.
Well, that's because
just know that we're out here for you, and all you Stony Girls, and we want to do this yoga with you, and we want to cannabis is one element within the field of herbology. You don't have to go back to school to get more degrees, to take on more debt. All you have to do is practice what little you know and put it to use. Really put it to use and remember who you are, where you're at. Sit with the fundamentals of meditation. Sit with the fundamentals of right diet. Understand your blood type. Understand the acid-alkaline connection. Understand the holographic details to nature's blueprint, and you'll have yourself a bigger, better deal within a blink of an eye. But as it stands today, Jen, there is no other than the Gorge Wellness crew and the M-Scale crew. There is a new kid on the block, and that would be the Columbia River Care Providers Association, who is bringing through not just the aesthetic integration and the holistic details to pain management and cannabis and everything that she can do for us, but we're bringing in the sacramental ceremonial uses through the Native American Church and the Order Templi Orientis. This is the real deal, Jim.
That's great.
What we want to do, what we want to do for you is something that really shows you that time is art, and that we have established a way of life that makes the natural world something of almost a dream, because we've been so traumatized by the concrete jungle and the civilizational advance of this insane facet of humanity and the most ruthless government that's ever existed on the face of the planet. And we want to dispel that. What we want to say is that, you know, you can't fix the problem on the level of the problem. You have to build a better model. And I've got kids, and I want them to understand the distinction.
I think you have to make change from within. That's why I've been going to the Pain Management Commission and talking to them about how marijuana can reduce opiate use to such a degree that some patients are actually able to completely replace their morphine. And that reduces constipation and addiction issues. And I've also been trying to get them to get the OMMP to fund their pain survey, because everyone who qualifies for their pain survey is also someone who qualifies for the medical marijuana program. And they said if OMMP pays for their survey, OMMP's ACMM would be allowed to submit some questions for the survey. And we desperately need to get some input and some patient outcome data, because we've had this program for 13 years and there's been absolutely no research to find out what it's doing to us. And we need to know
if patients are having
positive outcomes or negative ones.
I would like to know if Stony Grove Gardens is allocating any monies towards research and development or patient output analysis. Because
actually,
we're
willing
to do the research. Well, I would love to talk to you.
My doctor is the head of the palliative care unit at Oregon Health Sciences University, and he is now referring morphine patients to me for medical marijuana treatment. And we've been able to get at least one patient completely off of her morphine and off of most of her Oxycontin as well. And that patient is being studied every week as a special study. So we are making some study happen.
Excellent. Well, and in come the M scale. And we've got 2 minutes left in our program here. Jen, I want to thank you for going south and doing what you do and for entertaining this conversation. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/progressive party. If you're the least inclined towards some of the insights that we've shared in the last 60 minutes, then you can find yours truly and the Patient Advocate Network at gorgewellness.org.
Okay.
And that would be the real deal, Stony Girl.
What was that?
Love and light to you.
Columbia, gorgewellness.com.
Gorgewellness.org.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm gonna create a link so that we can think some more about these things. And I want to thank you for going the distance with Blood Justice today.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Take care. And there you have it, Keen. We've got corporate perspective clarified, and we're going to work this. We're going to work through this. We're going to find ways and means to raise the bar one way or another. You know, there's a number of people who are genuinely passionate about what we're doing, but to be reminded of the old saying that hell is paved with good intentions, and would ask each and every one of you on the wire with half a will and half a wit to think in whole systems and to develop a new cosmology with this cannabis culture and become truly conscious.
with what that has in store for us today and seven generations to come. This is Fred Justice on the line. You can call me just in time. Over and out.